Morning everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're a regular, it's great to see you again, even though we can't see you here, but great to know that you're a part of this. And today we're going to be carrying on our series of looking at Jesus through the Gospel of John. And we've done that over a number of weeks now, over most of the lockdown actually. And today I want to look at the last chapter of the Gospel of John. And we're going to see something that John wrote about that none of the other Gospel writers covered. And it's quite interesting because John wrote his gospel long after the other people had actually written their gospel. He was the last gospel that was written. And he talks about the way Jesus reacted, or if you want, a comeback from what Jesus did to actually help Peter get back in line with him after he had denied him three times. And it's interesting that John is the only one that covers this. Even Mark, who wrote the gospel, we understand, directly from Peter, didn't cover this, but John, the beloved disciple, covered it. So we're going to look at John chapter 21. I've entitled this message, Jesus, the Restorer of Ministry. So let's start off by actually just listening to the message, and we're going to hear from Jeanette, who's going to read John chapter 21.
This reading is taken from the ESV Standard Version and is from John chapter 21 and covers the whole chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, and the fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of fish. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to them a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter asked him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him he was not to die, but "If it be my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the rest of the world itself could not contain the books that would be written.
So, having gone through that chapter, quite an interesting part of the story, not one that we hear very often. But imagine if you were Peter and you decide with all the other disciples that you are now going to go and go fishing. You know Jesus has risen from the dead. You saw him crucified. You've met with the risen Lord. And now you've actually gone back from Jerusalem. They've gone back to Galilee. And in Galilee, they're now waiting to see what's going to happen next. And Peter then decides, right, let's go fishing. And it's interesting that the same scenario played out. Now, if you read through, now John didn't cover it, but if you go to the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that he describes how Peter was first called. And if you look at that story at the beginning of Luke, Jesus goes up to Peter and John and Andrew and James, all of them there because they're partners in fishing. And he uses Peter's boat as a pulpit, and he preaches, and Jesus preaches from Peter's boat. He then gets into the boat and says, "Let's put out to from the shore," and he puts out from the shore, and he says to Peter, "Throw down your net." And Peter throws down his net, and he says, "Look, we fished all night, caught nothing," but he says, "Because you say so, I'll do it." He throws down his net, and lo and behold, they catch such a big lot of fish that he's got to call his partners in, and they come, and they end up having to haul in this load of fish and bring it to shore. And after that, Jesus goes up to Peter and says, "Peter, follow me." And he says to all four of them, actually, "Follow me." So that was the start of his ministry. So imagine now, Peter's now in the same scenario where he's fishing and Jesus comes on the shore. And at first he doesn't recognize him, but tells him to throw his net on the other side of the boat. And so he throws his net out and they catch this huge amount of fish. And that must have triggered a memory in Peter saying, "Wow, this was how I started my ministry with Jesus. And now here we are again." And it's like a restart that he's doing with Jesus. And that's how his ministry started. But as you know, when Peter went along with Jesus, he ended up going from strength to strength, if you want. And right at the end, you had in Matthew 16, it describes how Peter was with Jesus and the other disciples. And Jesus actually says to them, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter, of course, comes up with that classic answer, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "On this revelation, on this, what you've heard, I will build my church." And he says, "And your name will now be called Peter." And that's where he got the name Peter, which actually means rock or small stone. And so he is actually, if you want, he's almost sort of been shown to be someone of importance. And later on, Jesus goes to be transfigured. Peter is one of those that goes with him to be transfigured. And then comes that famous event. And now it's interesting that this event is covered by all four Gospels, which means, you know, the only things that's covered by all four Gospels must be what I would call the core of the Gospel. And yet, if you want to note the scriptures, in Matthew 26, 69 to 75, Mark 14, 66 to 72, Luke 22, 54 to 62, John 18, 50 to 27, it all talks about how Peter denied Jesus. Now, the way that that's set up, it's set up, first of all, when Peter goes up to Jesus and Jesus says, "Look, we're going to have to go to Jerusalem and they all say, "Look, you're going to die." And Peter says, "No matter what happens, I'm with you to the end. Even if all these others desert you, I won't desert you. I'm going to stay with you to the very end. I will never leave you. I will die with you if I have to." And some of my own phraseology thrown in there, but that's effectively what he was saying to them. And Jesus then turns around to him and says, "Peter, before this night is over," because we assume in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "Before this night is over, you will deny me three times by the time the cock crows." And of course, we then know that happened. When they first came, Peter was brave. He went out and he actually cut off the high priest's servant's ear. But he then follows at a distance with John. And John, of course, is the person that in the Gospel of John, he never names himself. But he says that he is the one that wrote this and calls himself the beloved disciple. Quite an amazing title. And when Jesus got taken off, got arrested and taken to his series of trials, if you remember, Russ actually covered that, I think, all the different trials that they went to. And as they go off, Peter goes with. And when he's in the courtyard, and of course he gets asked three times, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he denies it. But on the third time, he not only denies it, he even curses Jesus and curses God, you know, saying, "I definitely don't know this man." And that's when the cock crows, and he realizes, and in one of the gospel accounts, it actually says that Jesus turned and looked straight at him at that time. So we assume Jesus had been taken through the courtyard at that point. And imagine how he felt. He had actually betrayed the very person he said he was going to die. He had actually fallen from grace. And this sets in mind, of course, the scene that's going to happen next, is because he's had the fish and he's realized Jesus is there. They go to the shore. Jesus actually made breakfast for them. And they have a barbecue on the beach, and with fish being cooked. And the whole scene would have reminded Peter of how his ministry starts. And then what actually happens, Jesus goes to Peter. So it's not Peter that makes the first move. Now, I want I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you know you've done something wrong and you're just embarrassed. So you don't want to bring it up. You don't want to step forward. But it's interesting. It's not Peter that goes to Jesus. It's Jesus that goes to Peter. And Jesus goes to Peter and he says, he calls him aside and he says to him, "Do you love me more than these, more than all the other disciples?" And Peter turns around and says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And what's interesting is that Jesus then says that three times. But and he gives him an answer. I'll come to the answer just now, but I just want to focus on that sentence to start with. Because it's interesting, because this obviously is written in the Greek, and they're using the Greek words for love. Now in English, you'll see that there's just written love in each occasion. In Greek, there are actually two words that are used here. The first word that is used is the word agape. And agape is talking about, it could also be translated beloved. It's what a man would actually say when he's in love with his wife. It's the call, some people actually look on it as a divine love. It's a love that is prepared to sacrifice everything for someone else. A love that is putting the other person's needs way ahead of your own. So that's agape love. And so Jesus actually says to Peter, "Do you agape me?" Peter responds, and it's interesting his response. He says, "Lord, you know that I phileo you." And the word that he uses, this phileo, is actually the word also love, but it's more of a brotherly love, more of a love that you'd have for your brother. It's a comradeship. It's a friendship. And so he answers it like that, and Jesus then gives him an answer. And then later on he comes to him and says, "Peter, do you love me more than all of these?" And he again uses the word agape. And Peter again answers and says, "Lord, you know that I phileo you." And so he does it twice, and then he comes to him the third time, and he says to him, "Peter, do you phileo me?" So instead of using agape, he changes it to phileo. And Peter, it says there that Peter is actually cut to the quick. And I believe that the reason for this is that Peter now realizes that Jesus is actually referring back to his denial that he'd done three times. Because he said it to him three times, but the third time, he's actually brought it down to the level where Peter is actually mentioning love. And I believe that this is actually, so Peter is actually cut to the quick in this, but it's also because he's realized that Jesus is actually saying, you know, that there's still that relationship, there's still that openness. He is still open to love Jesus. He is still open for the ministry that he's been called to. And so Peter's cut to the quick, but it's actually pulled him in. But I want you to now look at Jesus' answer that he gave. In all three of those, he gives an answer. But it's not the answer you would expect, because now if you wanted to restore someone to something, wouldn't you want to encourage them to go and do great deeds? You know, you're actually trying to encourage them to go and be everything they can be, to be the top of their game. And yet what Jesus says to Peter here, he says the first time, "Feed my lambs." The second time he says, "Tend my sheep." And the third time he says, "Feed my sheep." Interesting thing to say, because he didn't say, "Look, feed the lambs that are going to be yours, that are going to come to you and be part of this." He says, "Feed my lambs." And it's interesting how such a simple phrase can actually have such a deep meaning. And I just want to highlight this with a story from myself. Some years ago, I was part of a church, and I was on the eldership, and I was leading the church, and I knew that I was coming to a point where I needed to step down from leading the church, and I was going to go across, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do at that point. I knew that I was going to step down, but I didn't know where I was going. And as it turned out, there was another church starting, and I went along and became a member of that church, a part of the congregation in that local church. And what actually happened was I was wrestling with this, because my dream, from when I was a teenager, my dream had been to become a full-time pastor. And in this church that I was now leading, they were talking about trying to make me a full-time pastor in that church. So it was getting to that point, and it was like my dream was about to be fulfilled. And then I felt God actually saying that I needed to step away from this through a whole lot of circumstances. And what actually happened was I was wrestling with it and didn't know how to do this. So I wrote to an author, a famous Christian author that was around in those days in America. And I sent him a mail, and I gave him a long detail about what I was wrestling with. I was quite surprised. He actually sent me a reply. He sent me an email back. And his reply, all he said was, "Seek Jesus, not ministry." And you know, those words changed my life. Because I suddenly realized it isn't about ministry, it's about Jesus. It's about seeking Him. And I want you to look at what Jesus told Peter to do. He told him just to feed his lambs, just to get involved with the people that Jesus sent to him. But they weren't his people, they were Jesus' people. They were Jesus' lambs. He wasn't to feed his own lambs, he wasn't to give them anything else. He was to look after the people that Jesus had placed with him. What actually happens in the church, often we when you're part of a church, you can look at your church and think, wow, our church doesn't have the greatest people in the world. We wish we had all the people that those mega churches down the road had, all those musicians and all those preachers and all those evangelists and all those Bible knowledge people. And you wish they could be part of the church you're in. But you want to know something? What God is telling Peter, and I believe He's telling all of us, is be involved with the people that God has placed you with, not the people that you wish to be with. Feed the lambs you have. And help them to grow from lambs to sheep. And what are the lambs that you could be feeding? And obviously, in Peter's context, that could be the people in his congregation. But you want to know, all of us have people that we are involved with. All of us have people that we are actually ministering to. For some of us, thinking about a mother with her children, do you know that those children are Jesus' lambs? They're not yours, they belong to Jesus, but He is actually allowing you an opportunity to speak into them. It could be the people you mix with in a sport. Could be the people you mix with at work. Could be the people you mix with in your family as you go around. Those are part of the people that Jesus has given you, and He's telling you to feed those people. What's even more interesting is He gives them that answer, but He then doesn't tell them, "But don't worry, Peter, you can do this for now, and it's your training period, and then there'll come this time when you're going to have this greatness, and you're actually, Peter, going to become part of the head of the head of a church that is actually not just going to be for the local Jewish community, but it's going to incorporate all the Gentiles as well. He's going to fulfill the saying that was given to Abraham, where an offspring of Abraham would become a blessing to the nations." And he doesn't tell him any of that. What he does instead is, if you read on, he says to him, "Oh, by the way, Peter, you know, feed my sheep now. And when you're older, much later on, you're going to be a prisoner." John adds his little bit at the end and says he did this to show the way that Peter would glorify Jesus in his death. But imagine that. All he is told is that, feed my sheep now, and later on you will be a prisoner. And because the important thing is not about the ministry. It's actually about Jesus. Peter, of course, is a bit embarrassed. And so he turns around and he says to Jesus, "But wait a minute." Because often when this happens, people then point to someone else. Says, "What about him?" And he points to John. He says, "You know, the beloved disciple, what's going to happen with him?" And Jesus' answer is, "That's not your concern. What you must concern yourself with is following me." And do you want to know, often when we've gone through things, if we've run into a bad patch, if we've sinned and we've now had to come back, or if we're now part of a church and we sort of feel like we're just getting nowhere, that we're in a ministry that's just not getting anywhere, what Jesus does, he comes to us and he doesn't say, "Well, look at what I've done to this person over there." He just points to you and says, "You follow me." And that is the focus. We've got to focus on us following Jesus. Not to get focused on what other people are doing. You know, if you look around, Desiderata, this lovely saying that was found, I think in about the 1600s, that talks about from a worldly point of view, how we can actually show love to others. One of the points it says there, it says, be careful how you compare yourself to others, because there will always be greater and lesser people than yourselves. And that is part of the problem. When we start comparing to others, we start wishing we could actually be like them or as great as them, or we start getting proud because we are better than them. But Jesus says, don't focus on any of that. Focus on you following me. Jesus wants to take you where he's going. He doesn't want to be involved in all the others. Now, Jesus is doing the same to each of those people, but we need to leave those where they are. So that's the end of all of this here. But we need to realize that Jesus is the one who has placed you where you are. Even if you've messed up. So there's a lot of ways that we can actually end up in a bad way. We can have messed up, or circumstances can have happened, and you now find yourself in a circumstance where you're just not going forward. Whatever place you're in, you're at the right place for Jesus to use. And you're at the right place for Jesus to say, feed my sheep, you follow me. And that's it. So what I would like to do in a concluding statement, I would like to just end with that phrase. First of all, the phrase that was given to me when I was actually seeking change in my life. And just to encourage you all with this, wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing, whatever circumstances you find yourselves in, realize that those circumstances are not what is keeping you from Jesus. And what you must do is just focus on your relationship with him. Don't worry about your ministry. Don't worry about those things. God will sort those things out. But what you must do is seek Jesus, not ministry. Keep following him and caring for his sheep. Amen.